Eric?
As I said, I really don't think you can think of this as another combination therapy like, you know, a taxane and capecitabine or gemcitabine. It's important to recognize that there was a previous largely negative randomized trial with capecitabine. There was a hint of something going on there. And the question is, was it the setting? Was it capecitabine? Was it a chance difference? I think we should be careful about not being too rigid about defining first and second line, because so much of this depends on what someone has received in an adjuvant setting. A woman who received TAC or AC followed by paclitaxel 9 months ago in the adjuvant setting and now has a relapse and technically is in the first line setting is actually a far more refractory patient than many who are in the second line setting who might not have received any adjuvant chemotherapy. So I just think we have to be a little careful about being as rigid as the FDA is, perhaps, about these definitions.
So specifically in that scenario, the patient who's gotten adjuvant AC and that has gotten capecitabine for metastatic disease, what's your next move going to be?
Well, this is someone who had adjuvant AC a long time ago, recently.
A couple years ago.
So in the woman who's had it a few years ago and has had capecitabine as her first regimen, I'm not unwilling to try paclitaxel and bevacizumab there, recognizing that the ECOG trial did limit the eligibility to patients who had not received any chemotherapy in the metastatic setting.
Does not unwilling mean that's what you usually
do? That's probably what I would do in that particular situation, yeah, choosing my words carefully.
Aman, what's your thought about this whole controversy?
I don't think there is much controversy. The data clearly demonstrated that inclusion of a biologic with paclitaxel substantially improved the response rate and also time to progression. Survival is too early, and I think this is a viable positive lead, and we need to discuss with every patient who meets that eligibility guidelines and even maybe a little broader. And the next generation of trials will answer a little more clear that whether even in second and third line setting, inclusion of bevacizumab will enhance the response rate in that setting or not.
Would you consider combination chemotherapy plus bevacizumab, specifically a taxane, capecitabine, and bevacizumab, let's say a patient with rapidly progressive visceral disease where you're really concerned about getting a response?
I personally would not, because the safety data is not there and we don't know what dose of each drug we should be using when you're combining with that. I think that is not appropriate to recommend outside the context of, if somebody wants to do a clinical trial, yes, but not outside the context of clinical trial.
Let's imagine, if you will, that the trial does not show an overall survival advantage. And I don't actually know that. Let's make that assumption. So essentially, this is another palliative drug for the treatment of metastatic breast cancer that has the potential to relieve symptoms but does not improve survival. So if that's the case, my view is I would not use it in an asymptomatic patient because there's no symptoms to palliate. I'm going to choose something simple and low toxicity. And I'll probably reserve it for patients who are heavily symptomatic with visceral crisis where response is critical, because otherwise they're not going to be with us. And it's a critical decision to come up with the right life-prolonging treatment, or let's say symptom-reducing treatment. So that's kind of my view on it. I mean, I think that if it improves survival, my view will change. For example, all these arguments about when you use trastuzumab were all predicated on the fact it improved overall survival, upfront chemo. But with this drug, there's a chance it's not producing overall survival, in which case my view on it is quite different. And I think we should view it differently.
I completely
and shouldn't
agree.
Be giving it
sure.
to everybody with small pulmonary, asymptomatic pulmonary nodules.
I'd like to make just three comments, if I may. One is just in support of this, Matthew, if you look at actually the Willett data in terms of the biopsy stuff that was done, in terms of reducing intratumoral pressure, I think 8 of them were positive, and 3 of them, in fact, were negative. There were not any effect. So this is a drug which is not for everyone. It will be individualized with time. The second more general point I would make is just to remember that the hazard ratio on Kathy Miller's trial in the triple negatives was 0.48. So this is a drug you do really have to think of in triple negative disease. And the last point is just that I love the E5103 design, which has the bevacizumab ending with a chemo in one of the arms and then continuing for a year in the other, because we won't go into that old trastuzumab dilemma of like, when do you stop?
Aman?
The point I wanted to make is that let's say that there is no survival advantage. Still, I think in metastatic disease, the idea is that we want to control the disease for as long as possible. So if you start with combination therapy with biologics and chemotherapy, and you control the disease in much higher number of patients for a much longer period of time, I think still it is a major achievement from the patient point of view. Even though it may not result in long-term survival, may not be affected.
But what does that mean? You know, if you control the disease, so everybody dies, let's just say theoretically, there's no improvement in overall survival, let's say everyone magically dies at 2 years, right? So what have you really achieved? I mean, by spending all this money on this biologic and you didn't prolong anyone's life, you really have to question what you're doing. That's my view.
It depends what its palliative effect is, Matthew.
Right. So if you don't have symptoms,
if you
like
made
this
everyone
patient,
feel perfect until they drop dead,
that's the perfect
that would
end.
Be perfect.
Yeah, Mara?
I think we have a lot to learn with this drug, and I think that we're gaining experience now with it, and we have this one positive trial in breast cancer, but I think, as someone referred to previously, it works across a number of diseases. I think if you ask anyone how it works, no one's quite sure, and as we learn more about how it works and how to appropriately select patients, I think then we'll better know where and who we should use it in. But right now, I think stringent rules about what line of therapy don't really make a whole lot of sense in that instance. And I think toxicity is an issue and probably one that needs to be considered when using this drug.